You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
It's time for our state news roundup, which happens every Friday at this time. Today, we'll take a look at new projections for Wisconsin structural debt, get an update on the John Doe case heard in appeals court earlier this week, and that other one that was heard today. Noah, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Really a slow news day
yeah,
today.
Yeah, right. There's this growing tradition of the courts handing us bombshells on Friday afternoons. This was a biggie on voter ID.
Right. As we just heard in the newscast just a few minutes ago, the federal appeals court in Chicago has reinstated Wisconsin's voter identification requirement.
And that was argued so long ago, what, 5 hours that they heard the oral arguments?
Exactly. The arguments were, I think, started at 9:30 this morning, and already they issued this order reinstating voter ID. We've already heard from the Government Accountability Board, who's in charge of elections in the state. They issued a statement a few minutes ago saying they are going to take every step to fully implement a voter photo ID law for this upcoming election in November.
All right. Well, we're going to get more details on that from Sean Johnson. He's pulling them together as we speak, and he's going to check in with us again after the news at 5:30. Well, you know, we are more familiar with the 7th District Court of Appeals Court in Wisconsin than we have been in a long time. Voter ID, there's that same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. And this week, the John Doe investigation. So oral arguments in that. What was going on there?
Right. So let's go back in time just a few days ago down in Chicago. The Court of Appeals took on the issue of the now suspended John Doe investigation that was looking into the coordination between independent political groups and the Walker campaign during the recall elections. If you might remember, a federal judge in Wisconsin had suspended that investigation because he felt like it violated the free speech rights of those groups, including the Wisconsin Club for Growth, who sued to stop the investigation. The appeals court got involved because the prosecutor, who was sort of at the center of this John Doe investigation, who was conducting the investigation, wanted to continue the investigation.
And there was a noteworthy line of questioning from these appeals court judges.
Right. I mean, the judges said, you know, they were questioning straight away, right out of the gate, basically why they were involved.
What are we doing here?
Exactly. Why is this case in federal court? You know, they strongly suggested that this was an issue that should be decided by the state courts.
So this was originally all pretty much happening in state courts. This challenge from Club for Growth, this free speech challenge, they did in federal courts.
Exactly.
That's why it ended up there.
Because they were challenging it on constitutional grounds.
U.S. constitutional grounds, mm-hmm. Right. Based on that line of questioning, it sounds like these appeals court justices may not buy that line of thinking.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, and of course they haven't issued a ruling or an opinion yet, but just based on their comments during oral arguments, you know, they could kick it back down to state court. And if that happens, any number of things could happen. Firstly, that could undo the federal judge's ruling that stopped the investigation, mm-hmm. Which means it could eventually be back on.
Right. And
at some point.
And that ruling said stop the investigation, give back anything you've seized, destroy the evidence. They haven't done that yet because of the ongoing appeals.
Right.
This could, for the moment, turn the ignition back on and they could get rolling on this.
Right. That's one way. That's one way this thing could go. It could also end up back in the chambers of the state judge who's already effectively stopped the investigation because there was a state judge who did. Of course, that ruling could be revisited and perhaps appealed to the state appeals court and then eventually maybe even to the Supreme Court. So what we may see is this whole issue of whether or not this John Doe investigation should proceed, that will come back down into the state courts and make its way through the system here in Wisconsin.
Okay, so what you're saying is it could be the appeals court could knock it out of the federal court system, John Doe investigation back on track.
Possibly. That's one possibility.
Or they could say, oh, state court, you pick it up, which could go to a judge who, as you said, already stopped it once.
And at that point, it could go either way. Mm-hmm. Long story short, you know, this story is far from over.
And time-wise, now, as we learned today, anything can happen with the timing of these things. Is there speculation on when they could rule on this?
Right. So it is possible, and obviously the appeals court now these days is acting pretty quickly, but a ruling could theoretically come before the election. You know, obviously this is a political hot potato. So whether or not the investigation is allowed to continue, you know, could have some effect in the election in November. Although polls indicate that this John Doe investigation, you know, it hasn't really moved the needle a lot as far as this race is concerned. However, the race is tight, so no candidate wants to take any chances with this investigation.
And now we're working on our line of 7th District Court of Appeals trading cards with pictures and stats, and you can collect and make sure you've got all of your favorite justices. I mean, Wisconsin really has an eye on these people right now.
Absolutely. I mean, this has been a big week, actually a big month, really, the last several weeks, really, for the 7th Court of Appeals. A lot of hot topics here in Wisconsin being decided in Chicago right now.
And those trading cards can be yours for a pledge of $10. Oh, no, wait. That's not for a couple months.
Not yet.
Okay, well, let's get out of the courts for a minute. Big news in Wisconsin tonight. We're always budget watchers here. What is the latest news on our budget and the deficit therein?
Right. Of course, this is election time, so all things budget related is going to catch some attention. The Nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau released some budget numbers this week that indicated the state had a structural deficit of somewhere around $1.8 billion. And just for a little perspective, because I think that's important, that would be the third largest gap in the past two decades.
Okay, so deficit 101, what do we mean when we say structural deficit?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Okay, I'm going to really simplify it because it's actually pretty complicated, and I'm not an accountant. But basically, a structural deficit is the amount of red ink that will exist in the next two-year budget, assuming revenues don't go up or don't go down.
So it's the gap between my right arm, which is projected spending, and my left arm, which is projected revenue.
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly right.
Okay. So is the deficit, which way is the deficit moving? Is it getting bigger or smaller?
Well, yeah, the deficit is going up. It's getting bigger. The last time these numbers were released, that deficit was pegged at around $640 million. And the growth in this deficit is largely due to the fact that, you know, revenue is just not as high as people expected.
Okay, now this is all projections in a way. What does it mean for the way government's going to operate going forward?
Right. So there's really a two-part answer to that. From the government operations perspective, it means the legislature and the governor, you know, assuming revenue doesn't go up, you know, may have to cut spending to make up for the shortfall. That said, revenue could go up, and so maybe nothing will have to be done. Of course, the second part of all this, because it's election season, is the political implications of the structural deficit.
So this is one of those things that both sides in the governor's race are going to be looking at. What are we expecting them to make of these deficit numbers?
So Democrats, including Mary Burke, the Democratic opponent in November, says that these numbers are basically proof that the governor is, you know, fiscally irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. And then the governor's response, what's the case he'll make?
Yeah, so the governor has said, you know, he thinks revenue will go up, and therefore this issue of the structural deficit will be eliminated over time. And he also accuses the Democrats of having what he called, this is a direct quote, selective amnesia, because these structural deficits were common or at least occurred during the Doyle administration. The governor points to the fact that when he took over the state, there was a structural deficit of something around $3.5 billion.
And it seems like every two or maybe 4 years, we're talking about structural deficits in this state. This is not a newly invented thing.
Right, because at the end of the day, the, you know, budgets are created with projections. You know, nobody knows, nobody has a crystal ball, nobody guesses, nobody can say for sure how much money is going to be brought in over the course of, say, 4 years.
It'll depend on the national economy.
It depends on the national economy. You know, it depends on state, you know, tax revenue. So there are a lot of factors that go into it. And at the end of the day, they're guessing.
Another story that has a little political implication to it, a lawsuit against the Madison School District, the school board.
Right. So the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which is a conservative law firm on behalf of a resident in Madison, is suing the Madison Public School District as well as the teachers union for not allowing Act 10, which is the law that banned collective bargaining for most state workers.
So they're not, the school district is not following the provisions of Act 10. So what's the group saying? What are they doing? What's the district doing wrong, according to the group?
Yeah, they're basically saying the district and the union negotiated a contract that is prohibited under Act 10, and they want the contract blocked. The contract was actually reached between when a state judge threw out the law and when the Supreme Court upheld it earlier this year, hence the lawsuit.
So wait, so the district, as I understand it, and the teachers union have said, when we negotiated this, it was legal because Act 10 was blocked at that moment.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly right.
And as I mentioned, election season, there is a political angle here.
Absolutely. The resident who is officially suing the district is a conservative activist. And according to the Journal Sentinel, the CEO and president of a major funder of the institute, which is suing the district, is a gentleman who actually chairs Governor Walker's campaign. So there are political connections there.
And the education issue, I think we talked about this last week, there have been back and forth statements from both camps on
education.
Right.
This education issue has been really hot in the campaign the last 2 weeks. It comes at a time when Governor Walker has attacked Mary Burke and the school board, of which she is a member, for not embracing Act 10. He says the cost savings, you know, could have potentially been used to shrink the achievement gap, which exists in the district and we've talked about before.
And briefly, a quick roundup. The president made a big speech on ISIS, the Islamic State movement in Iraq and Syria. You kind of surveyed from our reporters. What is our delegation saying?
So the Wisconsin delegation, by and large, generally supports the president's decision to use expanded airstrikes against ISIS. Senator Tammy Baldwin likes the idea of an American-led coalition, but says it's important that the president not use combat troops, which he says there are no plans to. Senator Ron Johnson says Obama shouldn't rule anything out. He says airstrikes alone will not defeat ISIS.
All right. Well, we'll be watching that issue definitely in the weeks to come. Noah, thanks, as always, for joining us.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
That's our news guy, Noah Ovshinsky. He's WPR's assistant news director. He joins us each week at this time to round up some of the big stories in Wisconsin news.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come here on Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.